So I remember the first time I was in a worship service as a believer,
somebody handed me palm front. And I stood there throughout that worship service, and I kind of held it like this because I didn't know what to do with it. It felt kind of awkward. And they gave me a branch on the way in. It was a Palm Sunday service. And as the service progressed, I found an interesting thing took place. As attention was drawn to the palm and its symbolism and its significance, it changed what I did with it. And I found myself growing from, well, I had it down here like this. And the worship leader said, oh, and raise your palms up, and, you know, I did this. You know, because it just kind of felt awkward. Well, as we go through a service today where we are going to remember the glory of the palm and we're going to tie some of the symbolism of this to the events that took place the week before he went to the cross, I believe that what you hold in your hand will take new significance in your own life. So today I want to give you the freedom to do with it as you please. If this feels comfortable, amen. If this feels comfortable, amen. Don't do this to the person in front of you. That's not comfortable. All right? That's our restriction with that. If you're a child here today, part of the reason I did this is because I want you to imagine what it was like to be there on the day when the King of Glory rode into Jerusalem knowing he would do battle with the power of sin, death, and the grave, and defeat it. When the crowd that ran to the trees and tore branches down and sang praise to his name in as little as 5 days would cry out for his death. Today we begin our journey to the empty tomb by remembering the King of Glory. Behold, he comes.
Amen.
David.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away. Worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of our turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Eat, Hosan, seed of Israel's race, be a ransom from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. Through all eternity, crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through
seated. And if anybody has kids that want to benefit from kindergarten and younger, you can head to the back. That's a great prayer.
Thanks, brother.
Well, good morning. Blessings. I am glad to be back with you. I'm looking forward to the service today. And I've just got to manage to preach the entire time with my palm in my hand because I don't want to set it down for any reason, and you'll understand as we go on. So I just ask you, if you set yours down right now, I'm going to ask you, humor me, pick it back up. I want you to hold it today. So hold it. Hold it throughout the service. Now, if that gets in the way while you're looking something up, forgive me, bear with the bald guy up front. Okay, help with that. And, okay. So I just want to do that. I just want to go forward. Did you know that it was as early as the 4th century when churches leading up to Resurrection Sunday began to commemorate what is now called Palm Sunday, with people coming and bringing branches of palm? It's something that before you went to church, you picked up on that day and brought with you. Because the significance, the events that were about to take place were tied together. When the glory of the King comes riding into Jerusalem, and He would be there for the betrayal, the death, but ultimately for the victory and the resurrection, that it was tied together. So it was early as the 4th century that people began doing this. And then, for some reason, it became something that we associated with only certain church traditions, high church traditions. If you were born and raised perhaps Catholic or Lutheran or Episcopalian, you may have remembered, oh yeah, they always did that, many Presbyterian churches. Well, in the last 50 years, it's been kind of interesting. Evangelical churches began to re-embrace it. Why? Because they understood that there is great symbolism locked into many things that sometimes we have forgotten. A symbolism that brings back new significance. So today, what I basically want to do is I just want to take us on a journey to help you understand a little bit of the glory of the palm, because we live in Florida, and we didn't have to order these. We're indebted to Mark and Brianna and Joe. I mean, they went cutting them for us. And these are not the date palms, which were the most common type of palm tree in the Middle East. Date palms are all over. They're tall. They're majestic. They're huge. These are these palmetto? Yeah. So you see these all the, but the spread looks very similar. And so this is a great reminder of holding it today. It's good. I do want to thank them, and you should all thank them. They cut the spikes off for you, so you're not holding onto that, so you don't need to do that today. But I do want you to hold it as we go. It's Palm Sunday. For some people who grew up in a tradition maybe where they gave palm every year on Palm Sunday, if you were to ask that child or ask that adult, why do we do it? And they would probably say, well, we always do it. And isn't that what you do on Palm Sunday? It's kind of going out. And that's never been a good answer for me, that we just do it. Today, what I really want us to do is to try to understand the significance of palm and as we move forward. So with that, I went backwards. There we go. See, I want to do some reading. This morning, I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you. And it has normally been my habit of putting scripture on the board before you. I don't want to do that today. So most of the scripture, I just want you to listen to. And if it's your desire to turn to it in your own Bible, and you can manage to do that with this, all the better. But I want you to hear the word today and let it speak to your heart and soul. And there will be much scripture that we'll be turning to, and I'll identify those passages as we go forward. But in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16, hear the word. That next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast that we celebrated this morning, that had come because it was time for Passover, they'd come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Why? Because he was coming to celebrate Passover. He was being obedient as a man. He was required to return to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. And so here, the Son of God rides into Jerusalem. And it says in verse 13, they took palm branches and they went out to meet him shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And Jesus went and he found a donkey. This is what it says in this version. We know there's other versions that give more understanding. But in this, he found a donkey. He sat upon it as it is written, Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. Now at first, his disciples didn't understand this. What was taking place right before their eyes was still clouded. The events of the week would unfold and they would still be confused until after it was over with. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. The events that were about to take place that begin with this breaking down of palm branches. And I submit to you today, and this is our purpose, I want you to understand some of the significance and the symbolism of that which you hold in your hand, because I believe it heightens our worship experience of everything that's about to take place this week. It heightens our worship of the King of Kings on this, our Palm Sunday. So, where are we going to go? Well, first, I want to tell you things. These are things that if you were a Jew living in Jesus' day, would have come to your mind when you thought about the symbolism and the connection of palm. These things were written into your cultural experience. They're not written into ours. So we have to embrace them again to gain that knowledge and understanding. And the first thing that I submit to you is that the palm tree, to every Jew, was a sign of rest. I submit to you, it becomes the sign of rest that we find in Christ. The Old Testament palm tree was a welcome sight to weary travelers. As you would travel, it's an incredibly dry, it's arid, the Middle East is like that, and from a long distance you could see these majestic, large palm, date palm trees. And at those date palm trees were also often springs of living water, springs of water and refreshment. Shade was there. Shelter was there. From the very early stages in Israel's experience, they found rest and refreshment and safety underneath the palm. Israel encountered when they moved into Elam in Numbers chapter 33. They come in and they center in Elam and they land there for a period of time. And it says that there were 12 springs. This is Numbers 33 verse 9. They left Mara. They went to Elam where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there in the shelter of that place. Exodus chapter 15 says, when they came to Elam, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, they camped there near the water. For Jews traveling from place to place, if you were sequestering outside, you often did it in the shade, in the comfort, in the shelter underneath the palm. For most Jews, this would represent a reminder that during the wandering, during the wilderness journey, God perpetually found places of rest and refreshment for up to 2 million people and their flocks. He cared for them that way. This was a sign. They were everywhere, but when they were grouped together, you often found them around springs and those springs of living water. On Palm Sunday, this is when I want to challenge you with this thought. That they are a reminder that Jesus, the King of Kings, is riding into Jerusalem to assure your place of rest, your place of refreshment, that place of safety and shelter that belongs to us because we are the beneficiaries of what he does in the week that unfolds. He would say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. In the midst of our busy, busy, busy lives, there's a God that we can encounter in the busiest day who brings rest and refreshment to us. And the palm is a reminder of that. That because Jesus, the King of Glory, rides into Jerusalem where he will lay his life down for us, we are the beneficiaries of that place of rest and refreshment. The palm tree is this sign of those two amazing things. Rest. Refreshment. What about you today? How's life? How's it going? How big's your to-do list? How challenged are you? What weight are you carrying and think you must carry it alone? What burden? Hear this. He rides into Jerusalem to provide you the place of rest. He rides into Jerusalem to assure your place of refreshment. Behold, the King of Glory comes. Behold, this is what he comes to do for us. The palm tree is a sign to us of the rest that we find in Christ. I know for some of us, we think that rest is only what happens after we die. We sometimes hear the word rest and we assume, well, that means our eternal rest. And yes, it does. But I want to let you know that he doesn't expect our lives to be in turmoil until we die. He doesn't expect our lives to be total frustrational experiences, to be juggling all these things. He provides to those of us who are weary and heavy laden rest now. So this next week, on your worst day, I don't know, whichever day it's going to be, I pray you're driving around Florida and you drive by and guess what you see on the side of the road somewhere? There it is. And the next time you see palm, maybe it's palmetto palm, or maybe it's a palm tree in somebody's yard, and it's on your day of frustration, or better yet, maybe you've got one in your yard, or it's on your block, and you're coming home, and your boss has got you as frustrated as you've ever been with deadlines and things like that, and you're coming home, and I want you to see the palm. And remember, thank you, Jesus. You provide my rest, my refreshment. Let it be a sign to us. Let it be a symbol. It was to Jews in that day. It was in their hands as they went out to meet the King of Glory as he rode in. So that's the first thing. It's a sign of the rest that we find in Christ. But there's a second thing that I think the palm tree represents that I want to unpack for us from Scripture that I think that we just don't know. Maybe we know, but we forget, and it's not tied there, and we don't recall it enough. The first, that the palm tree is a sign of the righteous individual's life with Christ. I'm sorry, Scripture did that. Scripture said that this is a sign of what your life is supposed to be like in Him. Look with me, just listen again. You can write it down. You can add it to the notes. Look it up later. This is Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous, that's those in a right relationship with God, only possible because the King of Glory rides into Jerusalem. Only possible because he'll face the cross. Only possible because the grave is empty. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Get an amen from anybody here? Amen. They will still stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him." The palm tree is a figure of the righteous enjoying the deserved prosperity in God that is connected to what Jesus has done. It describes our life with Him. The palm tree in Scripture that is most often referred to and throughout the Middle East, it's the date palm. These are huge, majestic trees. They're long, long trunks, and up at the top they kind of burst out, and the palms are up high. They bear fruit all the time. They remain green in the driest of conditions. It is amazing what they're like, and some of them live, the average, they live well over 100 years, but it's real common to have date palm trees that live 200 years old, and they're still green, and they're producing fruit. And the psalmist says this is the sign of what it's like to flourish in God. You see, the righteous are expected to be thriving in God. I occasionally see a palm someplace that's dead, but you don't see these brown everywhere. I mean, occasionally you see a little brown leaf. But when you see palmetto palms or you see palm trees, they're green. They're a part of that evergreen variety of plant and tree and shrub and frond that's just there. And they represent this to us. This is the reminder when we see it. I am supposed to thrive in God. It is possible for me to do just that, to thrive in Him. That my life, no matter how long it should be, is one in which I should be filled with fruit and satisfaction. The righteous thrive in God. The righteous find great purpose with God. This was considered one of the most ornamental trees of the Middle East. It was common to use this for all sorts of things. The date palm, its sap was used to make sugar, forms a sweetener. Also, the sap was often used to make a form of a strong drink. Wax was made from the date palm. Oil was made from the date palm. Tannin to dye and stain clothes was used. Dye stuffs are also made from other parts of the palm. This is an incredibly useful tree. It was used ornamentally to decorate homes, and it gets carved in the ornamental mosaics and engravings and buildings. Why? Because it represents thriving life. Its fruit was highly edible. There were dates on the table. Anybody see them this morning? Anybody eat dates besides me? They were there. Oh, man, it was so cool. I had a watch. Let's just let the pits in. So, going out. I love dates. And a reminder. And there you have this highly edible, nourishing fruit widely used as food. Do you know that the seeds, the pits of the date palm, they were ground and turned into this buttery-like, added other stuff to it, substance, and they would feed it to camels, and it would keep camels healthy even when they couldn't get water. They used it on horses also and things like this. This amazing thing, this tree that brought incredible purpose and fruit forward. This is what the righteous look like. They will bring forth fruit. Even in old age, they will bear fruit. They will prosper with purpose before God. This is what the righteous are. Their leaves were used to cover roofs. Their leaves were used for fences, for baskets, for mats, for household articles. Articles of clothing were made. What? Wow. And the psalmist said, you want to know what the righteous looks like? Look at the palm. Look at that which is so useful. Has so many purposes, used so many ways. This is what the righteous will be like. The righteous will be like a third thing. They will prosper even in times of difficulty. Even in times of difficulty, and there are stories in the room of people who have gone through real hardship, real difficulty, real challenge. And they will tell of the stories and the times when, yes, but even in that difficulty, whether it was a natural disaster like Michael, or whether it was being laid off, or whether it was that horrible word, cancer, whatever it was, stories of individuals that talk about thriving and prospering in God, even though the time was difficult. Why did the psalmist pick the palm? Because of its perennial freshness, because even in desert-like conditions, it thrives. What a promise. In the driest, darkest season of your life, what is possible? You can thrive. You will find purpose. You will prosper. Why? Behold Zion. The King of Glory rides into Jerusalem. And He will buy your redemption with His blood. He will change the course of history when He speaks the words, "It is finished." He will break every chain that could bind you, every obstacle that could stand in your way. When the earthquake shudders and the stone rolls away, and the Lamb of Glory walks forth. Behold, the Lamb of Glory comes. The palm tree, this thing that we are reminding ourselves of today bears deep significance. And if we were Jews living back then, there'd be all sorts of other significance that we would attach to it, because we would know this would be in our house, we would have seen this, we would be using it, all these things. All these things. The palm tree is a third thing, though, for us. The palm tree is a sign of our celebration because of Christ. Because of Christ. In the Bible, the palm trees are characterized as beautiful trees. And these beautiful trees are used in another one of the feasts. Another one of the feasts. So in the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles in Leviticus chapter 23, it says this, and I just want to hear this, what they're supposed to do. So at the beginning of the 15th day on the seventh month, once again, this is one of these times when every male has to go to Jerusalem. Year after year, they have to do this. Year after year, they have to experience it. Year after year, this is written into their being of who they are. Year after year. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of rest. And the eighth day is also a day of rest. On the first day, take choice fruit from the trees and palm fronds, leafy branches and poplars, and do what? Rejoice before the Lord. Why? Because you have experienced His blessing in this last year. The sign of celebration. He has been faithful. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in booths for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in booths. It's a week-long camping experience. So you and your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, that I cared for them, that I provided. This was the reminder to celebrate. It's a reminder of our reason to worship. Why do we worship? We worship because our God has met our need, and it begins with the need of forgiveness. It begins with the need of discovering that we were incapable of saving ourselves, but He would save us through the work that He is about to do as He rides into Jerusalem. We celebrate, we lift up our hands and our hearts in worship. It is our reminder to rejoice. You do understand that those two things are different. You understand that, right? Worship is so relational to God. It's adoration. It's emotion. It's directed at Him. It's wrapped up in the glory and the wonder of who He is. And rejoicing is, amen, party time, kick your heels, and then celebrate. It is both of those things. The palm, the Feast of Booths. Why? Because it was a reminder that God was always providing. On that day, as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, they run to trees and places around them. They begin to tear branches. If these are date palms, that meant, you know, maybe some were close to buildings or houses and they got up to the roof and they tore them off that way. But it might also have meant that there were kids that were climbing up that are used to climbing up to get fruit, and they're just ripping branches down and people are grabbing them. And they are showing up, and these are what are being waved before Jesus as He rides in, these things that would have so much meaning and so much celebration. But there's one thing that they did not yet know on that day. And I think it's the most amazing reason that I wanted you to hold this today. You see, there's one more amazing thing about these palms that are there. These palms are a sign of our ultimate victory through Christ. On your note sheets, I hope you write this one down. I hope you go back. I hope you read it later today. I hope you underline it in your Bible, highlight it. I hope you write it out. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this profound statement. This is Revelation chapter 7. This is one of those times where John on the Isle of Patmos has his eyes open. He's transformed. He's up. He's seeing things. Sometimes he can't fully understand it. He does his best to keep describing it. But then there's other times he can give these really great descriptions of what he's seeing and he's taking place. This is one of them. Revelation chapter 7. John begins to share this and he says, "After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude." No one could count. "From every nation, tribe, people, and language. And they were standing before the throne in front of the Lamb." Then it says this. "They were wearing white robes, and they were holding in their hands palm branches. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' The scene in heaven showed those victorious out of this season of tribulation, standing before the Forgiver and holding this sign of life in Him, this sign of prosperity, this sign of rest and refreshment, this sign of hope in Him. And this is what they hold in their hand." Hear me. Why hold it in your hand on Palm Sunday? Get used to it. You're going to hold it one day. "I can't imagine standing in His presence." Well, praise to the Lord our God. "I don't think it'll be like that. I don't think those that are rescued out of the tribulation who hold this thing that represents the life that they find in Christ are embarrassed by it. This was the symbol of everything that they'd found in Him. All the angels were standing around the throne, all the elders, the four living creatures. And when they raised the palm and saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb,' you know what they did? They dropped. They fell on their faces and they cried out, 'Amen.'" That's what they said. "Amen. It's true. Amen." So it's true. "Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." The believers' faces on the Lamb. The palm upraised, the reminder of the life that He has given. And those other creatures, the elders, the living creatures, they just fell down and said, "Amen, it's true. Praise be to God. Praise be." Now, you know who knew all that on Palm Sunday? He who sat on the colt. He who told His disciples, "There's a room, go get it ready, because I'm about to change the Passover." He, the second Adam, who is about to undo everything the first Adam did, He understood it all. He rides into Jerusalem to go to war against the enemy of our souls. And He purchases our victory. So if you never do it again in your life, so be it. But today, dress rehearsal. Dress rehearsal. A day will come when we will remind ourselves that we have an ultimate victory, because behold, the King of Glory has come. Amen. Amen. So here's my suggestion. Every time you see this green stuff all around the state of Florida, oh Holy Spirit, would You haunt us with the reminder of what the palm means. Maybe this next week you see it and you go, "Praise God, going to be my hand one day. I'll stand before the Lamb. I'll lift my voice in praise." Amen and amen. So I want to give us one more chance to sing this morning. So I'm going to invite David to come back. And once again, no rules on how you use it. Use it on however the Holy Spirit leads you to use it. But I'm going to invite us all to stand and sing one more time. And just maybe raise this thing. And remind yourself of what begins today. Now, as they're getting ready, I want to challenge you with a couple of things. I want to submit to you that the Good Friday service, some of you stood already, stand, sit, I don't care what you do, that's good. It's my fault. Humor the bald man up front. Thank you. The Good Friday service of Nails, we want to do one thing. We want everyone who's there to strongly identify with this truth. It was our sin, your sin, my sin, that caused him to go to the cross. And that Good Friday service of Nails ends with us taking communion in silence, and we will leave this place in silence until Easter Sunday morning, when a different sound will be heard from this place. So we invite you to come to that. Bring a friend if you'd like to. There are invitation cards. This is our season. Do not let this week go by without encouraging someone to come. Come to the celebration next week. Come, inviting others to join you here. So on the way out, grab some of those invitation cards. Give them away. Hey, this is your week to be free to be a nuisance. Why not? I mean, they already know it's our week. It's on the calendar. They already know. I think somebody's going to be surprised. We're inviting them to church on Easter. They know it's on the calendar. They know that. Should they be surprised? No. Take advantage of it. Reach out. Invite them to come in. David, thank you. Let's sing together. Amen.